as children, they shouldn't be mouth breathing.
Just me like here you go, guys. This is your ASMR.
Something is wrong, and it can lead to so many other problems that we're not aware of.
Mic drop.
Behavioral yellow flags that were indications that the breathing of the child may be impaired, and that's what's causing the behavioral issues.
And it's saying that they're not getting as much oxygen as they should be. It's never normal, and it's an airway obstruction.
It also changes your face shape.
What should parents be doing?
Kia ora and welcome to the You've Got This podcast with Zazie and Tess. Tess and I are speech and language therapists with a combined 18 years working in the field with children and their whānau, so we know a thing or two about what makes them tick.
We want to empower you to know exactly what you can do to support your child's development. We're going to be touching on all of the important topics that you want to hear about, from speech and language development to managing tricky behaviours or supporting your little one to transition to school.
You can even request episodes that you want to hear more on. Just head to our Instagram at You've Got This Podcast. We'd absolutely love your support over on Patreon. Head to You've Got This, where we'll be offering extra episodes and unique resources that we've created to support you on your journey.
We like to have a bit of a laugh and keep it real, so thanks for listening. We're over the moon to have you along for the ride.
I attended a really good training last week that some of my colleagues delivered, colleagues/friends. Shout out to Tabs, Summer and Michaela who put this training together. It was really interesting. It was about picky eating, and I know we've spoken about picky eating before, but what really stood out for me was about mouth breathing and what mouth breathing means. And that mouth breathing is a sign that there's something else going on. And I think that we just like normalize it. Apart from the fact that every movie it's like, oh, he's a mouth breather. But also, yeah. As children, they shouldn't be mouth breathing.
You literally shouldn't be mouth breathing. You're so right that it's overlooked. Whenever I'd walk in to assess a new child, if it started with them mouth breathing and they had audible breathing, so like Darth Vader-y,
yeah,
or anything like that, I'd be like, right, the first person you need isn't me. The first person is we need to get all of this assessed. And that's what my son was like. August, since he was little, has always been a mouth breather, and he was Darth Vader-y at rest. So his mouth would hang open at rest and he'd be like, oh, that's going to sound wonderful to anyone listening right now. Just me like, Here you go, guys. This is your ASMR. But it would go unnoticed or less noticed for someone who, like my daughter, her mouth is open at rest, but she doesn't breathe like Darth Vader. She just sits with her mouth open. Mostly nose breathes, but sometimes mouth breathes. You know, like if it's not as noisy, it could go missed.
Yeah, yeah. One of the opening statements that stood out for me is that your nose is for breathing and your mouth is for eating. And if they're not doing those things, then something is wrong. And it can lead to so many other problems that we're not aware of.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. That is what these things are for. When we mouth breathe, it can result in children having more allergies because their nose isn't filtering what's coming in from the outside, and it's going straight into their lungs, so they can be more likely to be asthmatic and have other health problems that are linked to the fact that they're just not getting the filtration. But I think I kind of just wanted to highlight today what mouth breathing looks like, sounds like, and then what could be going on and how it could present in behavior. And I think that was the biggest message that I took away, was that they called them behavioral yellow flags that were indications that the breathing of the child may be impaired, and that's what's causing the behavioral issues or difficulties. So saying that the children are tired or wired, difficulties sitting still, fidgeting, hyperactivity.
Hang on a minute. I'm probably biased because I feel like that is every child. My children bounce off the walls. But that first one, I mean, that describes a lot of children already, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're thinking, my child does breathe through their mouth, and then there's that, it's like, wow, already I can see.
Exactly. Like, it's not a standalone thing, and these are why these are called yellow flags and not red flags, but they are puzzle pieces to a bigger picture. And so yellow flags were like poor focus, attention, and concentration. And there's a lot of conversation about, it's ADHD-like tendencies for these children, that when they've actually gone to ENT or ear, nose, and throat specialists and had the exploration and had the surgeries that were needed, that they no longer had those attentional differences. Difficulties with emotional regulation, extended dummy use of chewing objects, and increased aggression. Although I don't like the word aggression for children.
So it's coming down to, they're suggesting that an open mouth is impacting sleep.
Yeah.
And it's saying that they're not getting as much oxygen as they should be, or it's because of whatever's happening in the airway being collapsed. So it's a...
Yeah.
So that's then affecting their behavior and how they're presenting.
Exactly. So if you're thinking about when we're sleeping, some of the yellow flags to think about when you're thinking about your child or your children is snoring. So snoring could mean that the tonsils and the adenoids, which are like structures at the back of our throat and above our nose, that they're enlarged and the air can't come up through the nose and past the adenoids, and so you're breathing out your mouth.
I was just thinking there that we've normalized snoring, haven't we, as a society?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's a cartoon thing to be doing when you're sleeping, and that's how we show, if we were to mime, like verbally mime sleeping, we'd all snore, you know, as yeah. part of like to show what that you're sleeping. But it's never normal, and it's an airway obstruction.
Yeah.
It's saying this person can't get air in, it's never normal.
No.
So if you've got that there as a yellow flag, but I mean, I would say that's a glaring red flag. If your little one is snoring and they haven't got a cold, you know, it hasn't just like come on at random. It's sort of always been there. Then
yeah.
absolutely, that's a red flag for there's something else going on that's obstructing their breathing.
And oxygen is like the most important thing for our body. And if we're not getting oxygen, particularly at night when our body is regenerating, then you're not getting ready for the next day. You're not recovering from the day before. And so then that sort of causes a snowball.
Well, we all know what that feels like, right? If you haven't had a yeah. good night's sleep, I mean, we're talking to parents here. We all know yeah. what that feels like. You get up the next day and you'd rather not be up the next day. And imagine that, but a child's brain is expanding rapidly in those first, especially 2, but like up to 5 years. It's just expanding at speed and they're learning it. They're learning a whole language. They're waking up every day and learning a whole language and a whole communication system and everything about the world. Imagine doing that when you're just a bit tired.
Yeah.
And it's thrown off your behavior and you can't regulate, all of the above. You know, it would have a huge impact.
And then linking, you know, you're not getting sleep, but then when every time you're eating, you're not breathing either. So the two sort of really core functions of your day and night are sleeping and eating are both impacted by this blocked nose. And so then you're not able to eat full meals. Maybe you're fatiguing faster. Maybe you're getting more heartburn. Maybe you're inhaling food. You know, there's other impacts of not eating and getting a full meal that then is also an issue. I'm just going to touch quickly back on a couple other yellow flags I thought were really interesting. Was the teeth grinding. Mm. So at night, teeth grinding can be like a micro arousal that alerts the body to breathe. So it's your body coping, knowing that I'm not, my body's not breathing, essentially. And so using the grinding to keep the body alert enough to breathe.
No way.
Yeah.
So micro arousal. So you're saying that the teeth grinding is suggesting that they're waking up a little bit to sort of, because they're not breathing properly and their body's like, you need to keep yourself awake.
Yeah.
You need to get some oxygen in here. Mm. Interesting.
Mm. And another one, bedwetting.
Mm, I knew about that one because that was on some forms that we had to fill out for August when we ended up getting his adenoids removed.
Interesting.
Exploratory surgery was bedwetting. Yeah, I mean, that hasn't improved for us. I mean, he's just at an age where that's still developing. He's obviously toilet trained, but still not always continent overnight. The thing is with adenoids, he's had his adenoids taken out. It was exploratory surgery. I was adamant there was something going on and he didn't meet criteria to be seen publicly. We went privately, and when they dug down there, they were like, yep, he's got huge adenoids and we're removing them. The tonsils are a little bit enlarged but aren't enlarged enough clinically to be removed, which I don't know. I didn't want to enforce surgery on my child that didn't need doing, but similarly I was kind of like, oh,
you're there now, like, can you just like
anyone.
Do it?
Yeah,
do both.
I didn't want to cause speech issues from that. I don't know, there's so much in your brain when you're speech therapist as well. So he needed them taken out, and it has improved his mouth breathing. It has improved his sleep, I would say, even though he's a great sort of like, I would call him like a dead sleeper. Like he's out. He's out. He continued to be a great sleeper, but I did notice an improvement in his general behavior and general malaise from having that surgery. But the thing that really amazed me and that made me do a lot of thinking is, I mean, we touched on this briefly in our feeding podcast, but the fact that feeding begins with being able to breathe. Like, when you stop and think about it, you're like, oh yeah, of course you can't eat as well. Your baby can't breastfeed when they're, or like bottle feed when they're really, really snotty, because they can't coordinate that breathing and yeah. suckling, and it's all a mess.
Yeah.
And we kind of forget, but when we have a cold and we try and eat, it's not just that you can't taste anything, it's like you can't properly breathe through your nose. You're like panting as you eat, sort of thing.
Eating is the most complex physical task that we engage in. It's the only task that requires every one of your organ systems, and it requires every muscle in the body. For example, one swallow takes 26 muscles and 6 cranial nerves to coordinate.
And how many cranial nerves are there again? It's like 10.
12?
It's 10 out of 12, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah.
Stuff we should remember from school. But it is. It's wild when you think about it. And then the impact of, like, if you haven't eaten, we all know what our kids look like when they're hungry. That's like one percentage of it.
Yeah.
That if you haven't eaten properly, the impact that would have on your day.
And speaking of impact of mouth breathing, now we're on the topic, is that it also changes your face shape. So prolonged mouth breathing results in really significant face changes, like pursed lips. Often the top lip is smaller and the bottom lip is bigger. The jaw and the chin has receded a little bit. Different posture, so postural issues. Sometimes they might even have a crooked nose. The easiest way I can describe the visual is, like, think Sid from Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
As a human form. And we all know someone who looks like Sid. And yeah, it could be genetic, but it could also be that they're mouth breathers.
I don't want everyone listening to end up wildly scared, because obviously the people who turn out looking like Sid from Ice Age are also, like, wonderful, fully functioning humans. You know, this isn't, like, really extremely life or death, but, like, what should parents be doing if they're thinking, okay, this stuff looks a lot like my child? And often, you know, as I found, I was just brushed off as not significant enough.
Yeah, yeah. It is about going to your GP and then your ear, nose and throat specialist, or trying to get a referral to your ear, nose and throat specialist. If you are seen by any of the early intervention teams or speech and language or occupational therapy, they can write letters to support your referral to ENT so that they know exactly what they're looking for.
Maybe that could be what the download is from this podcast, that we make a checklist that people can tick off and take to their GP with them so they can feel empowered to say, this is what's happening.
Here we've been writing letters to the GPs and been encouraging families to go to the GP, and we've had our first family be picked up by ENT who are taking it seriously. This girl is not sleeping throughout the night. She's waking frequently and she's sharing bed with family, so the family aren't sleeping. She'll get to sleep at maybe 9 a.m. when she's meant to be coming to school, so she's missing a huge amount of school because she's...
Impact is wild.
Yeah, so like, this is, you know, there are smaller scale impacts, but actually when it's really severe, she's constantly got a runny nose. She constantly seems like she's unwell. She's really struggles eating, really picky eater. She's got gut problems. Like, everything is like tick, 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 tick. Like, this has got to be coming from something that's going up in her nose and her throat. It can really impact your ability to stay awake at school, your ability to feel regulated and ready for school in the morning or for nursery, etc. So,
the other thing that really threw me, the statistics that said the study of SLTs who were screening for behavioral sleep problems and sleep disordered breathing found in their clients between 2 and 6 years old, so of all the kids between 2 and 6, they found 31% screened positive for sleep disordered breathing. That's 31% saw that they had some sleep disordered breathing. A third of the people had, you know, these issues or screened positive for them, and then 78% screened positive for behavioral sleep problems.
Yeah.
And then an estimated 50 to 80% of children with autism experience sleep problems. I mean, that is, the statistics are wild.
Yeah, it's insane.
I can never say statistics probably.
It is outrageous. And the research is also showing us that ADHD symptoms are related to sleep disordered breathing and can improve after removal. And that's kind of what you're saying that you saw with Augie a little bit. Within reason, and obviously it's hard because they get older.
My kids are still bouncing off the walls, but yeah, for sure, I did see positive impact from having those taken out. But we do know that they can grow back, and because it's something that I can't see, I do worry about that, because some people do just grow back their adenoids.
I had no idea. Like, what the fuck? Them
back? Yeah, they can just completely grow back. So it definitely sits at the back of my mind when I see him mouth breathe, or when, because I am trying to teach him to close his mouth at rest, because that's obviously a habit that he's got into.
Yeah.
And I'm doing lots of reminding to close his mouth at rest. I keep thinking about getting a really sticky lip gloss and supporting him with sticky lip gloss that'll just, like, jam his lips together a bit more so he can become more mindful.
Borderline.
I know. But I'm like,
next you'll be like, I just got some PVA glue. I couldn't find any lip gloss.
I just got some glue. I mean, I don't think it's a terrible idea. I mean, it would give him some more biofeedback. I don't know. There's got to be some strategies around
keeping your mouth shut.
If your child has all of these symptoms, and it is that they aren't getting enough oxygen, especially when they're sleeping, this lack of oxygen to the brain changes neurological function, which equals a lack of optimal restorative sleep that supports daytime functioning, which also equals inflammation in the body, which also equals gut and digestion issues. I mean,
yeah,
that's impact after impact.
Yeah.
I'm really thrown by it. Like, I mean, it all makes a lot of sense, but when you see it written down, it's like a slap in the face. I'm really glad that we're getting to share this with people. So, you know, if you're seeing this, do exactly what Tessa said. In our Patreon, patreon.com/ you've got this, you can sign up as become a member. It's free. Mm-hmm. You can also pay to support us, but you can get there for free, and we have some free resources out there for nearly all of our podcasts. And for this one, we'll put up a checklist of things to look out for, and then you can print that off and tick that off. It's always good to go along to your doctor or any appointment prepared, because I don't know about anyone else, but I get frazzled and I forget what I wanted to say. Yeah. So having things that you can take and have ticked off and be able to share exactly what you're trying to say to your doctor, we'll have that in our Patreon for you guys to download and save.
If you do go along the journey of having these things investigated, do come back to us and let us know how you found it, your experience, so then we can support other families who then might be going through the same thing.
Yeah, I'd love that. So thank you for listening today. Remember, if you've got a moment, please go and hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you're listening. It means a lot to us. It means that we can get heard by more people. And then, of course, the more we grow, the more support we can offer. So thank you for listening. Remember that you've got this.
Bye.